What if I've been wrong? What if I've been wrong all along? What if everything I've said, everything I've done, everything I've thought about is wrong? What if I've been wrong all along? It's a poem I wrote maybe 25 years ago, might be 30 years ago, a long time ago. I don't think I've ever written it down. I've never had any need to. It's always right there, uppermost in my mind. It's always right there. And it's important to me because it's what drives my thinking. I don't like to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. I don't want to be bad. I want to be good. I don't want to be badly behaved or bad-tempered or ill-mannered or epistemologically incorrect, morally reprehensible, politically indefensible. And so I think about things. I think about the ideas that I take most seriously are the ones that I'm most likely to question. And this strikes me as being amazingly appropriate, that this is what I have this thing up here for, is to reconsider my ideas. Hi there. My name is Greg Swan. I am coming to you from selfadoration.com. I wrote a book called Man Alive, A Survival Manual for the Human Mind. It's all about rethinking everything that you ever thought. And I am quick to jump on other people's ideas. I like to think that I'm very vigilant about my own ideas, but I'm hugely rigorous when I'm dismantling other people's thinking. Today is November the 5th, 2012. It is the night before the presidential election. I've been meaning to make this movie for the past 3 weeks, maybe longer than that, and I haven't been getting it done. And I'm out of time because I want to do this before the election. I think it's kind of cowardly to wait until after some kind of momentous event to say, see, I told you so, because I didn't tell you so. So tonight I'm going to tell you so. This is me telling you so. And I will go out on a limb intellectually and declare that I believe that Mitt Romney is going to win in a big, big way tomorrow. I will post my electoral map, my electoral college map, when I post this video on selfadoration.com, and I will tell you that my map is not deeply vested in huge amounts of research. I'm basically picking out states where I believe that married people who have jobs and kids, that particular demographic, I believe that that demographic is going to carry the election tomorrow. And so the states where there are significant numbers of married people who have jobs and kids, I expect to go for Romney. And the states where people are either not married or they're married but have no children, or they don't have jobs, whether they're married or not, whether they have children or not, those states I expect to go for Obama, because frankly, that is his constituency. That we have, Mitt Romney made the mistake of pointing out that we have a vast moocher class in America, and it almost cost him the election. But the states that we call blue states are moocher states, and the states that we call red states are sucker states. And I expect the suckers to vote for Romney tomorrow, and I expect him to get suckered. Do not confuse me for being a Romney supporter. I voted for absolutely nobody. I wrote about this on selfadoration.com. I deliberately turned in a blank ballot. I have no intention of ever voting for anyone ever again, but I think I will send in a blank ballot every time I do it, and I don't expect this to have any impact whatever. I do not expect this to make any difference to anyone except me, but the only person I'm interested in making a difference with is me, so I win. And I like to set things up in such a way that I always win, that I win no matter how the game turns out. So that's my way of winning this election for me, is voting for nobody. But even though I expect Romney to win in a huge, huge way tomorrow, I want to caution you that this election in no way is a repudiation of Marxism. of moocherism, of welfare statism, Rotarian socialism, crony capitalism. None of those things is being repudiated tomorrow. It's a rejection of Obama. The American people are going to fire Obama for being incompetent, much as they fired Jimmy Carter in 1980 for being incompetent. But that's all that's happening. Michael Walsh is on National Review Online tonight with an extended essay about how this election is a repudiation of Marxism. I promise you that it isn't. It is not. The reason for that is pretty simple. Most Americans have no idea how much of American political life is dominated by Marxism. They have no idea how much their own minds are dominated by Marxism, and therefore they're going to be looking to Romney to give them the same moocher benefits that they've been getting from Obama and that they got from George Bush before that, et cetera, and so on, going all the way back to Roosevelt, at least, to Wilson before that, to Lincoln before that, to Hamilton, the 1789 Constitution before that. The United States has been a moocher state long before Karl Marx ever made his debut on the political stage. The 1789 Constitution is a rent-seeking constitution. This is discussed in Man Alive. Rent-seeking is seeking to get paid for producing no economic value. I set up a toll booth on a road that I don't own, then I demand that you pay me to pass, and if you don't pay me, you can't pass. That's rent-seeking in action. Slavery is the perfect example of rent-seeking. I take possession of your body and sell your labor and keep the proceeds. That's rent-seeking. The United States government is hugely dominated by rent-seeking at every level. Everything that you could talk about in the United States, if you dig beneath the surface, it won't be long before you find rent-seeking. And it's not true for every individual, but a lot of the people who declared in high dudgeon, "I did so build that business," when Obama said, "You didn't build that," a lot of those people are in the rent-seeking business. There was a building contractor in Maine or New Hampshire or someplace like that who was really in a huge rage over the idea that he did so build his business, but he was in the business of building roads. In other words, he was living on tax dollars. And if you look at your business, if you don't take tax money, God bless you. If you don't campaign for onerous business regulations designed to put your competition out of business, God bless you. If you produce all the wealth that you consume without pointing a gun at the head of any innocent person, and you can say proudly, "I did build that," then you are the rare, rare exception in the United States. Whether you want to or not, you are stuck in a situation where you have to be a rent seeker. I mean, any licensed occupation, I'm a real estate broker. That's what I do for a living. My livelihood is so caught up in rent seeking, there's no way I can escape it. There's no way I can get away from it without ceasing to be a real estate broker, which is what I'm in the process of doing now because I just can't stand it anymore. I'm sick of it. But we are a rent-seeking nation. We are a nation of moochers. One way to think of it is as a nation of vampires, that we are vampires, each one of us latched onto our neighbor's neck with our next neighbor latched onto our neck on the other side, and we are all sucking each other dry. Everybody's looking to live at his neighbor's expense in one way or another, and this will not have happy consequences, regardless of who gets elected tomorrow. That one of the debates that I was involved in today was a neoconservative insisting that Romney was naturally, indisputably preferable to Obama. I don't think that that's I think that's a colorable argument. I mean, I want Obama to lose. I do. I want to fire Obama. Except I refuse to vote against him because I'm not going to vote for anybody. But I do want Obama to lose. But to think that Romney is necessarily going to be an improvement is a mistake. Nixon brought us wage and price controls. Nixon brought us the EPA. George Bush Sr. brought us the Americans with Disabilities Act. And you can say, "Oh, well, that's a great thing for people with disabilities." Well, it's been a horrible thing for anybody who owns a business. It's been a really terrible thing. It's a terrible thing for anybody who wants a job. The 47 million people who are out of work right now. Many of those people are out of work because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And if you have some kind of mental or physical disability, I feel bad for you. I am so sorry, but it's not my fault. And that your disability occasions additional expenses, that your life is more difficult because of your disability, again, I'm sorry, but it's not my fault. And if you insist that I have to get up earlier and work harder to produce income that I will then spend making your life easier rather than making my own life easier, well, now you're my enemy. You're a criminal. You're stealing from me. And stealing from me is bad, but what's so much worse is that by stealing from everyone who owns a business in this country, everyone who's trying to produce wealth, you are resulting in a net destruction of wealth. You are making not just that person poorer, you're making everyone poorer, including yourself, that your life would be better if you would just get the hell out of the way, which is true with respect to every government intrusion in the economy. That was Bush Sr. brought us the Americans with Disabilities Act. Bush Jr. brought us the TSA probing your genitals in a futile attempt to discover that you're not a terrorist. He brought us the Patriot Act. You could say, well, the Patriot Act wasn't so bad under Bush, but how do you like it under Janet Reno? And how are you going to like it next year? And are you willing to insist that whoever wins the election tomorrow will be better than Janet Reno? Do you want to see your children in prison for doing things that are perfectly legal today but may well be illegal tomorrow? In any case, I don't think there's any reason to suppose that Romney is going to be better. I hope he is. I have tremendous hopes that the man will do great, great things, but I have huge doubts about it. And to the contrary, I really expect him to do perfectly awful things, maybe worse things than Obama would have done. And really, that's all just baked in the cake. It doesn't really matter who wins because our political life is dominated by Marxism. And until we actually do repudiate Marxism, it's just going to get worse, faster or slower, with greater or lesser complaints from professional complainers like Michael Walsh or whatever. It's just going to get worse. It has to. And frankly, as long as the Federal Reserve Bank exists, it has to get worse anyway because the only thing you can do to solve the problems created by printing counterfeit money is to print more counterfeit money. This is one of the reasons that I wrote Man Alive, is to help real people like you, ordinary people like you, deal with these situations, because there is no such thing as a leader. There is no savior. There is no one who is going to rescue you or your family. If you don't do it, no one will. If you're not willing to defend your own life, then your life is undefended, because you are just a cow right now to be milked, and later on you might find out that you're hamburger instead. But you are just the means to the ends of these people, and they do not care about you whatever. And that includes Mitt Romney, who I'm sure is a really decent guy. George Bush Sr., really decent guy. George Bush Jr., I'd really like to meet the man. I think he's probably a really, really decent guy. He'd make a great neighbor. But you cannot give a man control of a vast arsenal and not have a thug. That's what a thug is someone who has all the guns in the world and they're pointed right at you. And that's why I wanted to make this movie, because we're not repudiating Marxism. If you're expecting some huge reversal in the vector of government, think again. If we're lucky, we will stand still. Chances are we will continue to move in the direction we've been moving under Obama. Faster or slower, my expectation would really, practically speaking, be faster, because we're going to have one crisis after another, and crisis is the food of the state. Crisis is how states grow, and every one of those crises will result in more and more and more government. What I need you to think about is how the world really works, because government is nothing but the use of force to prevent the world from working the way that it works when there is no force present. That's the purpose of it. I don't push you around in order to get you to do what you're already doing. I don't pass a law to forbid you from thinking what you're already thinking. I don't get my gang to stand outside your house with torches and pitchforks to compel you to do something that you're already doing that I want you to do. I do it in order to compel your behavior in a way that you wouldn't do it without the force. That's the purpose of the force. That's why we have governments. And the argument will always be, oh, no, no, no. We have governments to save us from really, really, really bad guys. That's what we have governments for. No, governments are really, really, really bad guys. A government is a criminal organization, organized crime that has grown big enough to take over. That if you have ordinary organized crime, you'll have two or three or five different factions, all of whom are competing to be in the crime business, competing with each other. And that's not a good situation. I'm not saying that it is, but a government is one of those crime factions growing large enough to dominate all the others, and then it just takes over. A government is a mafia of superior firepower. That's what it is. And the purpose of the force is not to defend you from bad guys. The purpose of the force is to milk you. To take your stuff. Rent-seeking. The purpose of government is rent-seeking. When I'm in charge of this government, this mafia superior firepower, I expect to get paid. That's what I did it for. It's crime. It's just crime. It's nothing but crime. And sometimes it's crime in the service of some grand ideal, or some putative grand ideal in any case, and sometimes it's just crime, just kleptocracy. But it's crime either way. Whether there's some huge, elaborate, philosophically defended pretext for this crime, or it's just some thug sucking on his teeth with a pinky ring, it's crime. That's all it is. And that's the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to despoil you, to enslave you. And so instead of thinking that someone like Mitt Romney or someone like Barack Obama or whoever, you know, Johnson, what is his name? Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, thinking that one of these people is going to be your savior, I need you to turn around. I need you to look in the opposite direction. And what is, everywhere you look is away from yourself. You're always looking outside yourself. And so I need you to reverse directions and look inward. Because this is the only salvation that you're gonna find in this life, is the salvation that you provide for yourself. I am an anarchist. We can't have anarchy. Mogadishu. That's what people always say, Mogadishu. I have no idea what Mogadishu is, and I don't think they do either. They're just parroting something they saw on the news. If you don't like the word anarchy, and people don't like the word anarchy, it makes them nuts. It immediately invites these insane reactions. Just take it off the table and let's talk about self-control instead. You are exclusively in control of your mind. Exclusively. No one else can control your thinking. No one else can control what's going on inside your mind. In consequence, you are exclusively in control of your body. I could do this as much as I want. You cannot make me do it, no matter what. I'll hold my fist right there, make me throw my fingers open. Oh, wait, you can't do it. I can do it, but you can't. You are exclusively in control of your body. There is no alternative to this. This is physiology. This is the physiology of the human animal. The fact that I can move my fingers at will is a consequence of my having gained self-control over my body. Just as your dog can walk, just as your cat can stretch its paws, they have gained control over their body. The fact that I can talk about it, that I can do it like this, that I can demonstrate it to you, these are things that your cat and your dog cannot do because they can't think about them. But my thinking in father tongue, my thinking in notation systems, in words, in symbols, and my actions based upon that thinking, my choices and my actions, my behavior, all of that is exclusively self-controlled. There is no way that anyone other than me can cause any of these behaviors. There is no way that anyone other than you can cause those behaviors in your life. This is the nature of reality. And so when I say that every human being is exclusively self-controlled, what I am saying necessarily is each individual human being is indomitable by all of the others. People cannot be dominated. That's the whole point of government, is to lie to you and to insist to you that the government is dominating your behavior. It is not. You are choosing your behavior in every respect. There is no way that any sort of purposive human behavior can occur without your individual choice, that each individual who is acting is choosing to act and can choose otherwise, can choose to do nothing or can choose to do something else, and no one can cause any of this behavior. The necessary consequence of that indomitability is that self-control is all the government there is. If government means the peaceful mediation of human social contact, then the only government that there is self-control. Everything else is an illusion created by thugs. So let's get rid of the social. Let's make you all alone, Robinson Crusoe on the desert island. You don't have any need for anything that we would call government because there is no social interaction going on in your life. There is no other person for you to interact with. As soon as Friday shows up, now all of a sudden there can be social friction among human beings. And the way that you and Friday work that out is by mediation, by working things out on your own. And it doesn't mean that you can't make Friday your slave, or that he can't make you your slave, or that if he does make you his slave, there's nothing in the world that prevents you from waking up in the middle of the night and putting a knife in his back. All of this is doable. All of this is possible. And if you are insisting that you must live in a universe where no one can be enslaved and where no one can commit violent acts, whether against would-be slave owners or other people, if you insist that that universe must exist and you must live there, you're living in a dream. This does not exist. It cannot exist. Each human being is exclusively self-controlled, and therefore anything that any human being can do can happen. And anything that anyone can do in response to some human being doing something that a human being can do can happen. These things can happen. And so the question is, why don't they happen? Why don't they happen all the time? As soon as you mention the word anarchy, people immediately start talking about incredible chaos, unbelievable violence, incredible violence. The streets run red with blood. Rape is constant. Rape is persistent. That you take an ordinary guy, I mean, a guy my age, I'm going to be 53 in a couple of weeks, I can, you know, plausibly ejaculate once a day, maybe twice a day if I really work at it, but if you take the cop off the street corner, suddenly I am capable of raping women continuously. This is all just scare tactics. It's stupid. It's not true. It's not at all true. To the contrary, how is it that you are able to step onto an elevator? There's an elevator and you walk in and there are three guys in that elevator and you walk in. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're a child. I don't care how old you are. You step onto that elevator and you don't think twice about it because you have no fear of those people and they have no fear of you. And why is it that none of you has any fear of any of the others? It's because you trust in the self-control of those people. You trust in it implicitly. It happens all the time. Not just elevators, but all over the place. Your life, continuous self-control on your part and on the part of everyone else, and the exceptions are very, very, very rare. It's very rare for anyone to be a victim of a crime, particularly if you don't live in really ugly neighborhoods, especially neighborhoods that are hugely dominated by government. If you look at the correspondence of unsafe neighborhoods and the prevalence of government, you'll find out that there's a one-to-one correspondence. The less government there is, the safer you are. And why is that so? Because we all know that self-control is all the government. We know this implicitly. We know this in our guts, in our bones, and we don't think about it. That to the extent that we think about this stuff at all, we make these absurd arguments about pandemic crime, even though this doesn't happen. It's not a part of our experience at all. So that's my first argument, is that you are indomitable. Self-control is all the control there is. Self-control is all the government there is. And so attempting to erect this illusory Uber state is twice a penalty that you're imposing upon yourself. First, you're telling yourself a lie about the nature of self-control, and second, you're paying huge money. You're paying 40 or 50% of your income to buttress this lie. And it gets even worse than that, because the effect of telling this lie is not just to pay 40 or 50% of your income, but to have your life inhibited by some huge percentage, and then there's an opportunity cost and an interest value to that opportunity cost, and it just adds up. What do you get in the long run from this? You get economic collapse, and here we are, right on the verge of it. We're watching Europe is ready to plummet at any moment. California and Illinois are going to show Europe that they know nothing about bankruptcy, and what happens after that? God help us. Watch the TV news right now for what's going on in Staten Island and Queens and Rockaway Beach. And this could be your future. And again, if you are a married person with children, what the hell are you delivering your children into? What kind of a world are you making for your children? The second argument that I would make is that even if you're not willing to stipulate that self-control is all the control that there is, nevertheless, you don't have the right to do what you want to do anyway. You do not have the moral authority to do what you want to do. If you have the power to forbid me to say something, or to forbid me to engage in some line of work, or to forbid me to go where I will and do what I want and see whom I will and marry whom I want, if you have that kind of power over me, then I have it over you. And if I don't have it over you, then you have to tell me how it is that we're not equal. Because as far as I can tell, we are equal as things. And if we are equal as things, then you cannot have any right or power or capacity over me that I do not have reciprocally over you. And if neither one of us has that power with respect to each other, then how does anybody else have that power? There is no valid philosophical justification for government. None, whatever. I wrote about this in an essay called Meet the Third Thing, and I'll link to that when I put this movie up. There is no possible justification for the state. None. That's why the books are so thick and they're so unreadable, because they're pulling the wool over your eyes. It's easy to make a simple argument. It's very easy to make a simple argument. It's exceedingly difficult to tell a great big lie. And the way that you tell a great big lie, like the putative moral justification of coercion, of crime, is with clouds and clouds and clouds of verbiage. And that's why political philosophy is impossible to read, because they are attempting to conceal from you the fact that there is no moral justification for any of this. And so the third argument that I would make is that since self-control is all the control there is, and since you have no right to impose your will on other people for any purpose whatever, then if you persist in doing that, then you're the bad guy. You're the criminal. And it doesn't matter if you take up the gun yourself and push your neighbors around at gunpoint, or if you proxy it out, if you hire it out to a mayor in a police department or a president in an army. You're the bad guy anyway. Because you are insisting that other people are your property. You are insisting that other people are your domestic animals. That I put a leash on my dog, and I will tell you that it bothers me every time I do it. It bothers me every time. I can't not think about it, and I can't think about why the dog doesn't turn on me when I do it. Why he doesn't go for my throat and leave me dead in the street for putting a lead on him. And yes, I understand that my dog is not fit to live in the city, is not competent to live in the city without being on a lead, and dogs are domesticated animals. They're happy to live with us on our terms. My dog is happy to have a collar around his neck. How would you like it if I showed up at your house and put a collar on your neck and said, from now on, you have to wear this collar. I may not put you in chains. I may not lead you around in chains, but you will wear that collar every day so that when I want to, I can put a leash on your neck and drag you where I want you to go. That's exactly what you're doing when you insist that you have a right to impose laws on other people. There is no justification for this. There is no... It's contrary to ontological fact. It is contrary to every plausible moral principle. It's venal, it's vile, it's disgusting. And I'll tell you, it dehumanizes the slave, but it dehumanizes the slave owner even more. And we live in a democracy. We are all slaves, and we are all slave owners. And if you went to the polls on Tuesday, or you voted by mail ballot like me, then what you were doing is you were declaring a fractional interest in everybody else. I have a fractional property interest in everybody else. That's why I voted for nobody, because I don't want to assert ownership over my neighbors. Even in, I mean, you know, you could say, oh, it's meaningless, Greg. You're tilting at windmills. I can't even think, straining at gnats. We live by symbols. Everything matters. Everything's important. Everything is important. And this one more than anything else, because there is no justification for the state. There is no way to defend these arguments, and they destroy us. They destroy us financially. They destroy us in terms of our utility, in terms of our independence, but they destroy us morally and psychologically. They turn us into slaves and slave owners. They turn us into, we're at each other's throats all the time. I mean, this is one of the things that's been fun for me to watch in this election cycle, this particular election cycle, I guess because this is the first real Facebook election, is watching people on Facebook saying, jeepers, I don't understand why the country is so divided. Why is it that we're always at each other's throats? Why are we always so upset with each other? Well, it's because we're trying to push each other around. That's why. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to be pushed around. You may decide that you want to push your neighbors around. You want to tell them who they can and can't marry, or you want to tell them what they can and can't read, or you want to tell them what jobs they can or can't do with or without which meaningless document, or whatever. I really don't care. You want to swear that they're making too much money and that you ought to be able to take some of that money to do what you want with it. It doesn't really matter, because all you're doing is inventing pretexts for why you should be able to push other people around. And you may have what you consider to be great reasons for pushing your neighbors around, but as soon as you look around at your own life and you look at the ways that your neighbors are trying to push you around, you don't like any of it. You don't like any of it. Why can't we get along? We can't get along because it's not a club. It's a slave camp. And half the time we're guards and half the time we're slaves, but it's a slave camp and we can't get along because we are at each other's throats. We have pitted ourselves against each other. It's the Kilkenny cats, ultimately. We're going to latch onto that neck, and the neighbor is going to latch onto my neck, and everybody's going to suck everybody dry, and we're all going to perish together because we couldn't learn how to leave each other alone, which is the only way we can exist. We, each one of us, exists alone. A human being is a soul and solitary creature. I mean, the fact that you have a wife and children and a extended family and a network of friends and people that you like at work and, you know, 1,600 friends on Facebook, all of that, that's all wonderful. But the fact of the matter is you are all alone because you are exclusively self-controlled. And there is no alternative to exclusive self-control. And so everything that you do in quest of an alternative to exclusive self-control, either for yourself, to absolve yourself of responsibility for your actions, or to take control over other people in order to prevent them from being in control of themselves, all of those things are at war with reality. And your war with reality is destroying your life, is destroying your family, is destroying your children, is destroying your extended family, is destroying everything. It's destroying the entire world. And so the lesson that I want you to take from this election is not Romney, is not Obama, is not the repudiation of Marxism or the rejection of Obama or any other thing that you'll read about in the newspapers in the coming weeks. The lesson that I want you to take from this election is that government is a fiction, and the fiction is killing us. And if you want to stop contributing to your own suicide, then you need to let that fiction go. You need to grasp on to the reality that is exclusive human self-control and govern your behavior accordingly. And what will that change in the government at large? Well, not very much, not at the beginning. But as long as you are looking upon the world appropriately, you will make correct decisions where you have been making incorrect decisions until now. And the greater your understanding of your own self-control, your own sovereignty, your own indomitability, the greater your ability to convey those ideas to the people that you love. And the more people who come to understand the fact that self-control is all the control there is, the better able we will all be to get this vampire off our necks. So that's my news for you. I want you to do better. I want me to do better. I want the whole world to do better. And the way that we're going to do better is by responding to reality as it really is. By acknowledging the facts of human motivation and responding accordingly. And so the best lesson that you can take from this, I don't expect you to adopt my philosophy in total all at once, but the lesson that you can take away today is the one I started with. What if I've been wrong all along? What if I've been wrong all along? Think about the things that you never think about. Think about the ideas that you never question. And see if they hold up in the clear light of day. I'm so grateful to you. I put people through hell and I know it. And I'm so glad you hung in here to hear what I had to say. And I hope I've made an impact on your life. I hope I've made a change in your life. If you want to know more about the kind of things that I think about, you can find them at selfadoration.com. I have another site called splendorquest.com, which I'm going to be building out in greater depth going forward. There's a lot of interesting content there now, but there'll be more in the future. But selfadoration.com is a place to go. The book is Man Alive, a Survival Manual for the Human Mind. It covers all kinds of ideas like this. It's actually Precious Little Anarchy in the book, because I don't need to cover anarchy. What I need to cover is thinking. And I can help you if you want to learn how to challenge those ideas that you never thought to question. I can help you do that. Man Alive is full of full of iconoclastic ideas that will either make you crazy or make you sane, and I want to make you sane. That's my goal. Anyway, bless you. Thank you so much for giving me your time. I want you to have a great day. I want you to have a great life, and I want your life to be as good as you can make it regardless of what happens in this election, because it doesn't really matter. The life inside your skull is everything, and the life outside your skull is everything that you choose to make it. And I want you to make it wonderful. Bless you. Thank you so much.